A company that made millions of exploding automobile airbags is calling it quits. Takata has filed for bankruptcy both in Japan and here in the U.S. It plans to sell off its operations to a competitor. This, by the way, is the biggest corporate failure in Japan since World War II. More than a dozen deaths worldwide are blamed on the airbags. A problem also forced the largest recall ever in U.S. history. 42 million vehicles. The dangerous airbags are slowly being replaced.
We have pictures just in of a terrifying rescue scene in Colombia. A crowded boat carrying 150 tourists has sunk. It was traveling in a reservoir near the city of Medellin when it started to go under. The Air Force is reportedly sending in a rescue chopper to help retrieve those passengers. It's unknown what caused the boat to start sinking.
Some of the world's best-known technology names are increasingly allowing their crown jewels, source code, to be inspected by Vladimir Putin's top spies in exchange for a foothold in the Russian market. Companies such as Cisco, IBM, and SAP all going along with Russia's demands for access to their most closely guarded software secrets.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's June 26, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us to start another business week, another business day, and another episode here of The Opening Bell. Lots to cover for you this morning. Lots happening around the world in terms of news a little bit later on in the program. A real-time web surveillance platform that provides media analytics to financial institutions. We'll talk about that, go into a little bit more detail later in the program. We'll bring in our CEO spotlight momentarily, but first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian markets rose after Wall Street rebounded from losses at the end of the week on higher, stronger oil and natural gas prices. The Standard & Poor's Index rose on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrials slipped just a little bit. The NASDAQ Composite gained. A Japanese airbag maker, Takata, as you heard in the opening montage, has filed for protection from its creditors in Tokyo and in the United States. Overwhelmed by lawsuits and recall costs related to its production of defective airbag inflators, linked to injuries. Global oil prices have also rebounded, but are about 15% below where they were a year ago. Benchmark crude oil rose to $43.50 a barrel. The dollar edged up against the yen and declined against the euro. On the Asian market board this morning, markets are generally going to end the day higher. The Nikkei is up about a tenth of a percent. The Asian Dow is up about a half a percent. The Hang Seng up almost a full percent. Same story with the Shanghai. In Europe, most of the markets are up this morning with the DAX leading the way. The CAC not far behind, up almost a full percent each. The FTSE up about a half a percent. Gold and silver are trading lower this morning. Of course, that big news from Japan and here in this country, Takata filing for bankruptcy, the company announcing its action this morning both in Tokyo and in the U.S. It is about $10 billion. According to the filing of liabilities that the company says it has over those defective airbag inflators involving a number of big auto companies around the world. Another story we're following for you, global economy has picked up and prospects for the next few months are the best in a long time, but the recovery is maturing, faces risk from populist rejection of free trade and from high debt that can burden consumers, companies as interest rates rise. Debt in this country, personal debt, is at its highest since 2008, by the way. Those key takeaways from a review of the global economy released by the Bank for International Settlements, an international organization for central banks based in Switzerland. In our CEO spotlight today, Innova EV. It's an electric car company, but it's a little bit more than that. Roman Karopis is the CEO and founder of the company in our spotlight this morning. And good morning, Roman. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited to have you here this morning because this is the buzz, and you're getting a lot of buzz, too, at Innova. So give us a sense of what your background is, how you got involved in this, how long you've been doing this.
So I've been in the automotive industry now for about 20 years. I grew up in Detroit, and I had a tier one automotive company called Expert Automotive, where we developed evaporative emission systems for the automotive industry. We actually had a factory here in the suburbs in Romeoville. We had hired about 150 people making evaporative emission canisters for General Motors, Chrysler, Hyundai, Kia, Subaru, and others. And those components of those on those vehicles help reduce the amount of hydrocarbons or emissions that are emitted into the atmosphere, into the environment. So through that business, I learned a lot about how nasty carbon emissions are, and especially in cities and when cars drive slowly. So from 1 mile to 30 miles an hour, they're very pollutant, let's put it that way. So our job was to reduce the amount of pollution, and we worked with California Air Resources Board and the EPA and the industry to create the best solutions. So I saw and learned a lot about how nasty carbon emissions are. And then when we sold that company, my focus was to get into instrumentation in the digital, let me say, revolution. So I started a company called Inveram, which develops digital instrument clusters. And we work with Case New Holland here in Burr Ridge. We develop electronic assemblies for them. We worked with Tesla. We developed, in conjunction with their engineers, all the prototype and low-volume production for the Model S. We helped develop that whole 17-inch touchscreen and the digital instrument cluster, as well as Fisker Automotive. And since Fisker went out of business, Wang Sheng bought them and now is being released as Karma Rivero. We're also doing that digital instrument cluster. So we had this core expertise of telemetry, of sensor data, of instrumentation, of user interface. And what we wanted to do is combine that expertise with a device, a vehicle, and to help transform mobility. So we saw this little car when I was in Italy. We have an office in Turin. I saw this car, and my partner there knew the owner. So I met with them, and we wound up buying. I took a ride, and I loved it, and felt that this was, it was street legal. So we said this would be a good fit for college campuses and cities. But we didn't want to just sell the car. We wanted to create an environment and an application around it.
Roman, hang on. We're going to talk more about that. The car is called the Dash. We'll get into more of the technology and how it's being used as we continue our conversation with Roman Karopas, CEO and president, founder of Innova EV.
Hey, it's your money. Sales of new homes shot up by more than 9% in May over the same time last year.
A lot of it has to do with stronger job growth and a really low unemployment rate. So people may be able to qualify for the loans required to buy those new homes.
Kathy Fetke with Real Wealth Network says you'll pay more too.
I expect that home prices will continue to rise and will continue to struggle with inventory, at least throughout the rest of this year and probably next.
The average price rose to $345,000 last month, up from $310,000 in April. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 521. It's our CEO Spotlight today. Roman Karopas is the CEO, founder of Innova EV. Before the break, Roman, we were talking a little bit about your background, the background of Innova EV, but let's talk a little bit about this car and the technology. Tell us a little bit about the Dash and what it's like when you get inside of it. If we were to sit inside, what would we see?
Yeah, it's a two-seat electric vehicle. It looks like a smart car. We've got a range of about 150 miles per charge. I'm not going to say it's a Lexus or a Mercedes. It's pretty simple. That's the whole point. You know, affordability was very, very important for us since we have this mobility for all motto that we want to make sure that everybody and anybody can use our vehicle and our platform. And the way everyone can use it is if it's affordable. Mm-hmm. So we focused on making sure that we invest the money into the right parts of the vehicle to make it very comfortable for that 7 to 10 minute ride.
It's one of those things that, well, you mentioned earlier, it's sort of like the rideshare programs, the bicycles.
Right.
We know how those are all parked in the little
right
things, and you put your money in and take them. Is that how you envision the dash being two, that these are all just maybe parked along the street somewhere and you can go and get on them and use them?
Correct. So we have both. So that's in a shared divvy is almost like the share model, which you come up, you swipe your card, you grab and you take it to a different rack across town, for example. So our idea today is we hire drivers and we train them, and more of the Uber model, the ride share model. So we're picking people up through the app at they'll hail us and we'll come to their home or to their workplace and take them to the train station or to another spot. And we also do shared, where through the app you can go up to the car. Through the app you can unlock the door, and when you get in the vehicle, we already know who you are. You put the passcode in and you go. And everything's seamless after that. And we tell you after you're done with your ride how many carbon emissions you've saved for that ride. So we feel that's pretty cool, too.
And that's kind of cool, just thinking about that. You said that you've sort of gotten an eyeful is doing all of this about the amount of carbon emissions that vehicles are putting out. I bet if somebody came up to you and tried to argue about climate change, you'd probably have a good fight with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We need to do more, all of us. I think today the world had the ship has sailed as far as being conscientious and being thoughtful about the environment. I mean, I think we can all attest to seeing the differences over the years. So I'm trying to do, and my team and our service is trying to do our part, and we love the environment and we want to protect it for our kids.
It seems like it can't happen fast enough, though. I know that somebody who's really concerned about the environment, I always think about this. It's let's do this today. What are the biggest challenges that you face in getting this expanding? I know there are states, some states aren't really wanting autonomous vehicles. There's been pushback in several other areas. What are the challenges?
Yeah, so, you know, everyone, I was just in California all week last week, and we're being embraced, and people love the model. And we're at the front end of our business, and we're definitely getting our name out, and WGen's done a great job helping us with that, so thank you. So we've been very conscientious about focusing not to oversell ourselves. So everything that we do is based on a crawl, walk, run philosophy. So we're at that crawl phase to get going. We have a program in Itasca with Metra and Hamilton Lakes and the village of Itasca. We're taking people from the train station to the workplace and back, and we've learned so much from that. And now we're starting to scale. We're coming to Brownsville here next month in a project that's very exciting. So to answer your question is that we have to continue to learn and really get to the point where we can can the solution, that it can be then replicated throughout the country, let alone the world. And I feel very confident that by this time next year, we'll have about 50 projects going between universities and cities and neighborhoods where we're providing our mobility service. The autonomous piece that you mentioned, I think, is a very important one. So at the end of the day, I have to sleep good at night, right? Yeah. So there's a liability and a safety issue. Mm. I think it's been very well publicized, the pros and cons. There's no question that autonomy can provide a tremendous amount of safety. There's a lot of road driver-caused deaths. Last year was a record. It was really bad. But autonomy can fix that. But we really need to do a crawl, walk, run on that as well. And that's what we're doing. Our philosophy is that we have to start. We're starting on green fields, literally green fields, where we on Ohio State's campus. Then we went to parking lots. And then from parking lots, we're going to streets and on campus, and then we'll go into the public streets in Columbus. And then I see within the next year, we'll be in all of our programs, Brownsville, Itasca, all the universities we're on. We'll be driving partially autonomously. We'll have a driver. We'll have a steering wheel. We'll have a brake. We're not going to do the whole Google car concept just yet. Mm-hmm. We're gonna crawl, walk, run it.
But there, you still hope to be one of the first. But there's a lot of names in here. You mentioned Google. There's some others out there working as well. You still hope to be the first, though. Are you that far ahead of the others?
The uniqueness that we have is we're a low and medium speed vehicle. So we are street legal, but we don't have to comply with the highway laws and all the crash and things. Our top speed is 35 miles per hour. So we feel that at that lower speeds, you can't get as into that much trouble compared to on a highway. So, but it's very important, obviously, in dense city areas. You really need to make sure that you're safe, right? Because people, objects coming across streets, things like that. So we Our focus is to be the first in this segment. It's really difficult, to be honest, to compete with a Google or a GM. But everything that we've done thus far has been a David Goliath situation, and we're doing it in kind of that crawl, walk, run philosophy. We're so happy to be a Chicago company. In the suburbs. And we've been laying in the weeds because I think it's important for us to continue to develop our solution as we are, continue to roll it out. And then if we do it right and can it the right way, I think it's got explosive opportunities to be a huge, huge success.
Sort of that stealthy approach to doing things.
Correct.
Sometimes that can be good. Let me ask you about how this is going to look. Because sometimes when I close my eyes and think about what the future is going to be with this, I think of city streets where you just see the cars moving around sort of like a futuristic scene. And when you want one of them, you just, you know, with your app, one of them, and then one of them stops. Is that how it's going to be?
Yes, kinda, absolutely. That's cool. So that's what we're doing today. So, you know, we, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was a science project, right? It was like the Jetsons idea and how can this all come about? And what is so exciting, why I love what I do and do what I love is truly you see take things from concept and taking it and applying technology and making it happen. And it takes awesome people, and it takes also some guts, but you need that right components and stakeholders, and that's what we're doing right now in Ohio State, and we'll be bringing that out in the rest of the country soon.
Is there a demographic that's going to propel all of this forward? We hear a lot about the millennials. Is it that generation that's going to make this happen in a big way?
I think so. They're very conscientious, number one, about the environment and doing the right thing. I think there's a lot of purpose in millennials that they align themselves with brands and companies that have a core value system that's important. It's about not only profits, about people. It's about, again, having that purpose. And the millennials are key because the affordability is also very important. And the trend now is that car sales, the analysts are saying the volumes of new car sales are starting to trend down. And I think that's in good part because of what's happening with shared mobility, whether that's bikes, Zipcar, what Uber and Lyft are doing, what we're doing. And I think that these other modes of shared mobility and people living closer to the city where they can actually walk or take a bike, I think all those modes are becoming more relevant. And anything connected to a device, their iPhone or their Android device, is going to, they live on it. I've got kids, so they live on it. So anything that is seamless and easy and can save them money, and it's environmentally conscious, I think has a very good chance of being successful.
Well, Roman, it's really good meeting you, and all the best to Innova EV, and we look forward to following your success.
Thank you so much.
Roman Karopas is the CEO and president, founder of Innova EV, the electric vehicle, the Dash. You can find more out. You can follow them on Twitter at Innova Dash and online at InnovaCarShare.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. It's 5:41. Glad to have you here for our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Financial analysts and traders, even those of us in the news business covering it, have to wade through lots of information every second of the day on all sorts of topics, including stock trends, funds, takeovers, volatility. There is a service that's going to try to make that easier. It's called Assurn, and we're happy to have with us the CEO of the company today, Kumesh Arumugan. Kumesh, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning. Pretty excited to be here.
Glad to have you. Nearly $1.5 million in seed funding recently. Tell us a little bit about your company. What do you do?
Yeah, so we pretty much track about 300 million websites. That includes all the public news, blogs, and social media feeds like Twitter. And we're pretty much trying to find breaking news before you see it on major public television. And we're able to do this by using AI technology. So all the news that we're monitoring, we're pretty much having a very high focus on these local news and blogs that's out there. And sometimes there are reporters that have these insights, these local reporters, and they're able to publish these information way ahead of the time before these major news channels are able to publish the news itself. So we're able to scan the web and capture this information in real time and then send it out to hedge funds, investment bankers, traders, so they can act on these news.
And this happens probably instantaneously, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's completely real time. We are able to, as soon as a news message comes out, we pass it in about 40 milliseconds and send it out to all these large banks. So it's very fast.
Why is all of this information important? And has this been an empty part of AI? I know there's a lot of different services that provide this kind of thing to news organizations like ours. But has there been an opening here that you're filling?
Yeah, so pretty much one of the major differentiation is that we have the largest coverage when it comes to public financial news. So we're able to cover the majority of the entire web. So that's 300 million websites, including the full access to Twitter as well. So we're getting every day, we're getting about 7 million articles. These are new, brand new news articles and 150 million tweets. And so it's very, very difficult for any other company to actually capture this amount of information and then start processing it and looking for the most relevant financial news that's out there to send to the traders. So that's where we come in.
And that's you mentioned that this information goes to the traders and the analysts out there. Why is this information and having it in real time so important?
Yeah, so some of the clients that we serve are quantitative hedge funds and high-frequency traders. So it's very, very important for them not to miss any information and for them to get these information very fast as possible. And these analysts, these equity researchers that we serve at the banks, their major concern is that sometimes they might miss important information, and they're subscribed to a lot of different news services already, like Dow Jones and Thomson Reuters, but these news services don't cover the local blog and news aspects. And sometimes the local news and blog aspects do have inside information or information that's not out there yet that these equity researchers wouldn't want to miss. So that's one of the reasons why they're subscribing to us as well.
And so what would be an example of some of the data services and the blogs that you use? I'm guessing that you have, you know, the big ones that we probably would all recognize, and they're Reuters and Bloomberg and some mm-hmm. of those. But what are some others?
Yeah, some others are like small blog sites like American Banking News, Street.com, Street Insider. So these are some small blog sites that's in there. We also have the large blog sites as well. It could be anything ranging from like TechCrunch, The Verge, to Wall Street Journal. Then we also have, we're tracking social media like Tumblr, Twitter. We're also getting financial documents from sc.gov as well. So pretty much everything that you can find that's publicly visible online, we're getting.
Talk to me about the challenge of getting that information and not only getting it and compiling it, but making sure that whatever it is accurate. Or do you just sort of provide the information and let people decide for themselves if it's accurate?
So we try to act as a layer of filter before we provide all those information to the users. So the layer of filter that we provide is also another competitive advantage and one differentiation factor between why people want to use us. So using our AI, we're able to let you know. So let's imagine you're looking at an article. Using AI, we'll let you know what company is mentioned in that article, what financial event is mentioned in that article. We're able to let you know if the article is actually positive or negative based on how the author has written the article and what's the potential impact this article could have on a certain stock price and how reliable is the article, because there's a lot of fake news out there on companies. So we're able to apply AI and basically grade these articles on these different factors and then send the article with the analysis to the end users. And these users can basically use their own judgment based on the analytics that we do on top of the article and then make their decisions from there.
Who would be your competition? I mentioned Bloomberg earlier. Anybody who's doing this job in financial news knows that the Bloomberg terminal is one of the big things that most people have. Is that your competition? Who would be your competition?
Yeah, so it's pretty much anyone in the news delivery industry. So that could be a Bloomberg terminal, a Thomson Reuters news terminal as well. It could be most of these big guys that you can see out here. But with these big guys, they're pretty much redistributing their own news with their own analytics. But we are taking it in a different route. So we're actually trying to tackle the massive web of news that's out there, which is one of the most difficult and challenging tasks.
Yeah, and anybody who has the Bloomberg terminal or Thomson Reuters knows it's an expensive proposition. What is your price point, and how are you competing financially against those?
Yeah, so our price point is pretty lower than the Bloomberg terminal. So Bloomberg terminal charge about $2,000 a month per user as a starting price, and we're at about $500 a month per user. So it's pretty competitive in terms of the pricing.
Yeah. What is it? We mentioned that you have a second round of funding or a round of funding at $1.2 million. What is the next step for CERN?
Yeah, so the $1.25 million in funding was to be used to actually build up our development team so we can tackle some of these requests from these large banks, because we've been getting flooded with requests from a lot of the largest banks in New York right now. So that funding is pretty much being used to build up our development team right now. But once we start closing some of these banks and closing some of these contracts, but in the end of the year, we're going to start raising our Series A round, probably about $5 to $10 million, to actually take it to scale the company as fast as possible.
Well, Kumesh, it sounds like very exciting. Congratulations on your success, and we look forward to following CERN to see how you go.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Kumesh Arumugan is the CEO, co-founder of CERN. You can find out more information, by the way, online at acern.com. It's acern.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Associated Bank Market, Dow futures pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street, up 65 points right now. NASDAQ and S&P futures higher as well. The latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we begin this trading week, we look at some of the headlines we ended the trading day Friday. First of all, in the grain market, spring wheat at a 2.5-year high, corn at a 6-month low. And in the livestock market, live cattle rally ahead of the USDA report. Well, what did that report say? Quickly reviewing the numbers, cattle and calves on feed up 3% above June 1st a year ago. Placements into feedlots during May up 12% from a year ago. And marketings of fed cattle during May totaled 1,950,000 head. That was 9% above a year ago. Traders basically calling it neutral to friendly for front months, but negative to neutral for the back months. So anyway, that's what we'll be trading with today on the numbers. But of course, coming up, the big numbers on Friday. Supply-demand report, the planted acreage report, and the quarterly pig crop report, stocks in all positions report, all due out Friday of this week. And Allendale made an interesting comparison over rain years, pointing out in the past 3 years of spring rains equal to or worse than 2017, from the March intentions to the June planted acreage surveys, corn acreage went up by 104,000 in 2011, up by 97,000 in 2013, and fell by 302,000 in 2015. Interesting. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, June 26, 2017. One big economic report today. It's the advance report on durable goods, manufacturers, shipments, inventories, and orders for May. UK is expected to publish its detailed demands for departure from the European Union. Also today, the Congressional Budget Office is scheduled to release a cost estimate for the Better Care Reconciliation Act that was introduced by Senate Republicans last week. That's the House version of the Health Care Act that's been changed by the Republicans in the Senate and now put forward as the Better Care Reconciliation Act. Again, the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan office that scores how many people might lose coverage and how many dollars worth of cuts expected to Medicaid from that program. The trial of Martin Shkreli begins today in Brooklyn Federal Court. A jury selection. He's accused of looting his former pharma company, a retrofit of millions of dollars. The Supreme Court issues orders this morning, and through the day, we expect to see a couple of big opinions. And there is some concern and some rumor that perhaps Justice Anthony Kennedy will announce his retirement today at the end of the term. And here, this will make you feel old, especially if you're a millennial who kind of grew up with some of this. Today marks the 20th anniversary of the publishing of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It has sold nearly 450 million copies in nearly 79 languages over the last two decades. 20 years of Harry Potter.